The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning, too. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's like I was in the other chair saying.
It's almost like you were like that.
Almost. Kelly Bidlin alongside. That's the voice of Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Producer number 9. So much more than a producer. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Was it weird being over here?
Yes, very odd.
Did you feel like Kelly Bidlin sitting in this chair?
No.
No? You didn't absorb the essence of Kelly?
I did have a much quicker clock in my head where I'm like, wait, how long do I stay here? It was just strange.
It is weird. Couple times I've done spots in your chair, I feel the same way. I'm like, something feels way different about this.
That's all it takes.
3 feet away.
That's all it takes. Different angle, everything. We got Mark Borchardt coming up on the show from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. Talk Major League Baseball with us. I'm sure he'll have a pick of the day. He'll try to foist a parlay of the day on us, but then I will insist on a side. He will comply. That's how it works.
Did he not have one last week? I don't think he had a parlay.
Well, I ran him into a wall.
Oh.
It's probably my fault.
Oh, okay.
Jake Hahn on the NHL. How about the Hurricanes saying we're not dead yet?
Staying alive.
I believe that's what the BGs were talking about, the Carolina Hurricanes. Yep. Jay Conn will join us. And then Drew Dinsick, hour number 2, NBA and tennis. Let's see what else he's got in Paris today. By the way, we have a request from J-Rod to get you to pronounce not only the main court at Roland Garros, but also courts 2 and 3.
Hey, you got it. You just need to text them to me.
I'll send them to you. So we'll get a pronunciation from Kelly on the top 3 courts there at Roland Garros. So we'll talk tennis with us, of course, the NBA as well. And then the age-old question, can Aaron Judge win the Triple Crown? Sure, we could talk, can he win the MVP? But, you know, that's what everybody else talks about. Can Aaron Judge win the Triple Crown? We'll talk about that coming up later on the show as well. And I'll have a couple tennis plays that remain from my tennis plays overnight. We'll get to those here momentarily. But we must begin, Kelly Bidlin, with the NBA last night, where the Oklahoma City Thunder take a 3-1 lead over the Minnesota Timberwolves in the NBA Western Conference Finals, best of 7. They take it back to OKC to try to close out the T-Wolves in 5 after their 2-point win last night. They do not cover. T-Wolves cover, as so many folks in the contest bidded on that one. I was having a debate with 128-126, by the way, the final score.
Oh, good. I wasn't the only one. Okay, cool. I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah. I think there's 5 folks alive. 5 folks mathematically alive left in the contest here. Fezzik, the man to beat. Zach Cohen on his heels. But I was having a talk with somebody yesterday. They were like, oh, it's bad beat. I was like, yeah, that's not a bad beat.
No, it's not.
But you were definitely on the right side if you had OKC, I think. And you probably should feel bad about it. Yes, it was a tough one, but bad beat it was not. We'll get to this Nate Duncan tweet here momentarily. I just want to go through if you missed the last sequence of this game, the whole game was really this dance between OKC winning by 3 and by 9. So the entire game was that margin, with the exception of 30 seconds. There was only 30 seconds in this whole game where the Thunder led by more than 9 points. They led by 11 points for 30 seconds, really close to the beginning of the second half. 40 seconds left in the game. It's 123-118. McDaniels goes to the rack. He's blocked by Holmgren. McDaniels steals, and you think it's over right there, but McDaniels steals it from Shea, or as the Israeli trio that I was happened to watch this game with in the short and the sportsbook kept calling him Shy. I was dying the whole time.
Hey, by the way, not nearly enough of a reaction on the broadcast initially to that Chet block.
Oh, it was awesome.
I got a block by Chet Holmgren. I was like, what are you? That was like a massive block.
It was kind of like the game clincher you thought at the time.
And then a terrible turnover.
And then McDaniel steals awesome. It right from Shea. He hits a 3, 123-121 with 23 seconds left. So they got a foul, right? Because you're within the 24 seconds here. Shea's fouled with 14 seconds left. He makes them both. 125-121. Gobert follow-up bucket. Followed up someone else's shot, followed up his own shot. It was kind of Angel Reese-y. 9.9 seconds left. He hits both. Or excuse me, he makes the follow-up bucket. Pardon me. 125-123 with 9.9 left. So they got a foul. They foul Shea with 8.8 left. He makes the first, but he misses the second. And this is where the folks who had OKC were like, oh, against the number were like, oh, no. So 126-123, 8.4 left. You ask yourself, will OKC foul? Yes. Because they have fouls to give. They immediately foul Reed with 7.8 left. Then they had one that was the one to give. Then they foul Reed again with 7.2 left. Remember, they're up three. He makes both free throws, 126-125. Now Minnesota has to foul. SGA fouled with 6.1 left. He makes both, 128-125. And then Caruso fouls Ant in the backcourt with 3.5 seconds left. He makes the first, but now with only 3.5 left, he has to purposely miss the second, which he does. No foul is called on the scrum on the rebound. SGA then heaves it down court out of bounds. They adjust it. Oh, no, they didn't adjust it to 0.3, did they? Was it 0.1 or 0.3?
It was 0.1. They readjusted it very quickly to 0.3, Gil. And I'm wondering if they really didn't want to get into the whole,
yeah,
hey, that fan catching the ball affected how much time should have come off. I actually think, though, that they probably in the end, that's where the time should have been, is right around 0.3. So I don't think it's a huge deal.
I don't think it's a huge deal. But, you know, the difference, again, we make a big deal about that because 0.3, you are allowed to catch and shoot at that point. Anything below that, you're not. So it's 128-126. T-Wolves now beyond half court. Randall inbounds, heaves it toward the hoop. No chance. OKC wins. Ball caroms off. T-Wolves cover, but OKC wins. SGA 49. That's 40 points, 9 boards, 10 assists. One board shy of a 40-point triple-double. Jalen Williams, 34. Holmgren, 21. A 79-point fourth quarter between the two of these teams, 41-38 T-Wolves. But the T-Wolves with 21 turnovers in this game, which is really maybe the most telling stat of all. So I have several things here. Mm-hmm. One, let's put up the Nate Duncan tweet, because much has been made of this here. The NBA, he said, has to change the rule, because that play-by-play I just did the last 40 seconds was nothing but fouls and free throws, right? So he says the NBA has to change the rule to eliminate the smart, that's in quotes, the smart play of fouling up three. Should be one shot, and the ball, if you foul outside the three-point line up three with shot clock off, turned an amazing game into a free throw contest late, robbed us of a great finish. Well, I disagree. I'm not about this. I don't think you can. First of all, you know, we've been talking about fouling up three on this show since the dawn of time, that it is the smart play. I don't think you can go to something. Yes, I get it. It's aesthetically unpleasing. We had this great game where no one could miss a shot, it felt like. Just great offense. But you can't then penalize, in quotes, right? You can't punish, let's say, the team that has worked to be up 3 points. You can't then make it artificial. You can't make artificial competition at that point and penalize that team, the team that's ahead, and make them not able to foul. You can't not let them strategize at that point. So while I understand, because you think it's aesthetically unpleasing, and so much of our sports is about ratings and is about eyeballs and is about being, you know, a fun thing to watch, you can't do this.
I'm a little surprised to. I didn't even ask you when you sent me this tweet last night. Yeah. I was like, I don't know. I'm interested to see what Gil's take is here, because I was surprised to see this from Nate Duncan, one of the better NBA minds and better NBA podcasts out there that I listen to fairly often. Gil, I haven't heard him complain about this before personally, but clearly he's been thinking about this for a while.
Yes, he has.
You know what? My immediate reaction when I first read this was, This is kind of similar to the tush push to me. We are making a big deal. If every team in every situation could execute this perfectly, then maybe we need to think about something here, because it is not very aesthetically pleasing, right? But we just saw the Thunder themselves screw this up not all that too long ago. Teams botch this situation all the time. And just because OKC actually played it almost perfectly last night, then we're going to go to this far? I'm with you. This is...
No, you can't. It's as simple as you cannot punish the team that worked to be ahead. You can't all of a sudden change the rules.
JVT
said, by the way, the other team is able to foul. The team that's down is able to foul up until that point. Now you're like, now you guys can't foul.
Right, exactly.
You can't do that.
Exactly. No. JVT put it pretty simply on By the Books. We caught him before. It's like, wait, we got to overreact and change every rule. I get it. It was a great game. There was incredible shot making throughout the entire game. It was fun to watch, and it kind of sucks when it ends that way. But you know, like, if you're betting on this, I didn't have a bet, but I had that play in the contest, lane three. I knew I was dead because I knew OKC was going to go foul.
Yeah, but I thought you might get it on if they blew a whistle on that rebound. I was like, maybe you'll get two free throws here. You know, so it was in the balance. In the end, now Game five, as I mentioned, back in OKC with OKC now a chance to close out the T-Wolves. OKC an 8-point favorite tomorrow night. 220.5 is the total. If you are asking how many teams in the history, we talk about teams that are down 3-0, 0 times have they ever come back in the history of the NBA playoffs from a 3-0 deficit in a best of seven series. Only 4 times has a team pushed it to a seventh game. Well, if you're down 3-1 in a best of seven series, do you know the answer to how many teams have come back from a 3-1 deficit in the history?
I feel like I did last year, but no, I don't remember anymore.
13 times total.
Okay.
13 times total. Who could forget the 1979 Bullets against the Spurs? I remember that one. 13 times it's happened. But of those 13 times, you then ask yourself, yeah, but how many of those 3-1 comebacks were with teams that didn't have home court advantage? In other words, didn't have games 5 or 7 at home, only game 6 at home. And the answer is it's only happened 5 times. Mm. So historically speaking, for the T-Wolves to pull this off, it would be something else. And against a team like OKC, who if you now add their playoff record to their regular season record, they are 79-14.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
They don't really lose basketball games.
And they don't lose at home.
Yeah.
That's the bigger one. All right, this was... look, you're just overmatched, Minnesota. Sorry, this series is over. It was Minnesota's got a good team. They do. Role players stepped up huge for them last night. Ant was suffocated on defense. This Oklahoma City Thunder defense is just incredible.
One other note on this series coming up. We'll get Kelly's thoughts on tonight's game. Tennis picks. May wins update. It's all coming up. Numbers game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Smarter bets start with VSiN Pro. And now's the time to join. Through May 31st, lock in 14 months for just $199. 2 extra months free when you use promo code PRO at checkout. That's less than 50 cents a day for a daily email with best bets for VSiN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24-7 live video and replays on the VSiN Watch app, full access to VSiN.com's analytics, trends, and expert breakdowns. Plus, get the 2025-26 NFL betting guide when it drops this summer. It's dropping. It's dropping like an album.
Dropping like it's hot.
I knew you were going to say that. This limited time offer ends May 31st, so don't miss out. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use promo code PRO to sign up now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe.
Drop it like a thought. Drop it like a thought.
What do you, who do you think you are, Mark Borchard? That's next segment.
I got to wait for Mark. Sorry, Mark.
There's only one resident
Sorry,
rapper.
Mark.
Don't step on.
That's your bit.
Stay in your lane, Bidlin.
Stay in your lane.
I do have two tennis plays that have yet to start. We split. Two dogs this morning lost on Selekmeteva on the ladies' side, but won on Haley Baptiste. Haley Baptiste beat Beatrice Haddad Maia, so that's a small little win. We have one going on right now on the men's side. Enrique Roca, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, first set tiebreaker currently with Nicholas Basilashvili. But the two that have not started yet, both on the ladies' side, one is the Czech Republic's Marie Buskova. Plus 138 versus Anna Kalinskaya. Kalinskaya, aggressive player. Buskova, more of a defensive player. You can get it about plus 133 right now. Still playable at that price. Buskova's clay numbers are outstanding, as are those of the 20-year-old up-and-comer, at least on this surface.
Yeah, this is a new one for me.
Solana Sierra, who is Argentine. And the Argentines can, you know, they grow up on clay. They're just great on the men's side. She is a great player on clay. She's taking on Yulia Putintseva, who I met, by the way, at Indian Wells. She was just there in the hotel lobby. I was like, hey, what's happening?
Gil's betting against you now, Yulia.
Yeah, she has won us a bunch of matches as a big dog in the past, but this ain't her year. She is just not. She's 29. I think she's Kazakhstani, by the way. I just feel like Sierra can get her today, the up-and-comer. Now, it's a bigger stage for Sierra, but that's the bet for me. So Buskova and Sierra remain today. Wait, and I'm on the Pacers tonight.
Is Buskova one that your numbers usually point towards a little bit more than less? She's a pretty common bet for you.
No, because, no? I mean, there's okay. Buskova, there's Bolter. I don't know. Maybe you're getting confused. I bet her once in a while. Yeah. Only when
Colin Sky you've bet before too.
But. Oh yeah. She's something else, that one. Which one's Sierra? Kalinskaya. What? What are you talking about? Okay, and the Pacers tonight is another play for me. But those are the two tennis plays that remain. By the way, May wins update, Major League Baseball. Sorry to do this to you guys back there. We just want to get through the administrative stuff here before we get back to basketball. But May wins. The Twinkies and the Cardinals. Did the Cardinals lose yesterday? Yes, the Twins lost yesterday. The Cardinals lost yesterday. So the Phillies now, one win more than the Twins, Cardinals, and Tigers, and one extra game to play than the Twins, Cardinals, and Tigers. So it is on the Phillies racket to keep the tennis theme going. Phillies in the driver's seat, 17-6, with one game more, five games left in the month of May. Twins, Cardinals, Tigers each have only four games left in the month of May. Cubs and Yankees still on the screen, but really have a lot of work to do. Speaking of still on the screen, a lot of work to do. In that NBA, VSiN NBA Killer Sports Challenge, five people remain mathematically alive now. Fezzik in the lead, 22-13. Zach Cohen, 21-14, one game back. And then it's me, Kazarian, and Alex Christensen, who are mathematically alive. Kelly Bidlin with a loss yesterday. You have been eliminated.
Sir. Eliminated.
Sorry about that.
It happens. What a great start to this thing for me. And then, geez, the last two rounds. I mean, pretty common. Pretty good reflection of what my betting's been like through the playoffs, too. First round was awesome. And then just kind of the games I've jumped in on here last two rounds, up and down.
I think Doug can relate to that. Doug's the biggest example of that. I think he was 14-3.
Yeah, he was crushing it. Yeah.
Alex, if Noops loses, he's eliminated. Doug can take third place with a win here. In his last, because both Doug and Alex have one more game to play this round, whereas Fezzik, Cohen, and Alexander do not. We are done with the round.
Man, it was I'm not going to complain. Again, pretty good reflection of how my playoffs have gone, but the Thunder with three last night, just another one where it felt like I was on the, I'm not calling it a bad beat, but no. Just kind of the wrong side of things at the end.
I had three of those in the first round, too. I had three of them.
There was a lot of those in this playoffs. There's no doubt.
It's basketball. That's what it is. Okay, and about that, one more thing about this OKC-Minnesota series, by the way, also, because I just said, you know, OKC 79-14, if you add their postseason and regular season records together. So that's epic, obviously. But you know a little quirk that Will Hill mentioned yesterday when we were talking via text?
What's that?
He's a smart guy. They have not covered a road playoff game yet.
Yeah, we brought that up yesterday. 0-6 heading into yesterday's game. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then 0-7 now.
So I've got Carl Sack on the job here.
I saw that.
Yeah. Killer Sports.
Still farming out homework.
Yeah, I'm farming out homework. Carl, who was kind enough to come up with this contest with us, he's got the Killer Sports database. So I'm trying to figure out, has a team ever won the title never covering on the road? Because OKC is, at least if they get it done in game five, they'd be one series away from doing that.
Yeah, so this was heading into yesterday. Their net rating in the playoffs, 10.6. This is from Zach, I believe. I want to give him credit. Net rating playoffs, 10.6. Okay, that's pretty good. It's 24.2 in their eight home games, which is very good. And then minus 7.5 in six road games. Mm. So, you know, they've been pedestrian on the road.
Meh. What about tonight? I'm on the Pacers. I believe you are also.
Yeah, right there with you. The Neesmith stuff is something to monitor here today.
Down to 1.5 in some spots.
Yeah, I get it a little bit. I bet him yesterday. Didn't go in huge on it though. Gil did want to see what this Neesmith news looked like. It didn't look good at the time when he left that game, but we'll see. That's the playoffs. These guys usually find a way to play if they can. But yeah, I like them tonight. Knicks showed up big. Look, that was a huge game three performance. I think these teams are pretty tightly aligned, but I expect them to see the Pacers bounce back a little bit here tonight.
Have we talked about the whole Cat and Brunson on the court at the same time?
No, barely. I mean, I kind of brought it up a little bit yesterday with how their defense got better when both of them were off the court. But no, not really. If you got the on-off numbers in front of you.
So the Knicks starting lineup. Minus 20 for the conference finals, minus 41 overall for the playoffs, plus minus. Towns and Brunson, minus 20 in their minutes together in the conference finals. minus nine in 412 minutes together in these playoffs. You remove one of them, though, and the Knicks suddenly start being awesome. With Brunson on the court and Towns off, the Knicks are plus 9.17 net rating in the playoffs. With Towns on and Brunson off, New York is plus 9.14 per 100 possessions via PBB stats. The Knicks allow 119.47 defensive rating. That's points allowed per 100 possessions. That's terrible. With Towns and Brunson on during the playoffs, that number falls to 113.08 when Towns goes to the bench and to 98.2 when Brunson goes to the pine. That's from a Yahoo article. And then the EPM, estimated plus minus, this is via dunksandthrees.com. That metric has Brunson rated as the best offensive player in the playoffs at plus 4.8 overall, while also being the worst defensive player in the playoffs at minus 3.6. You get the idea. And by the way, Brunson. Yeah, so Towns, by the way, what is it now? Brunson, named 2025 NBA Clutch Player of the Year, only played 2 minutes and 46 seconds in the fourth quarter of Game 3 in the Knicks' comeback win. Towns on the floor for 11 minutes and 24 seconds of the 12-minute period. Do you think Tom Thibodeau is aware of this?
Yeah, I think he's definitely aware of it. Look, I think it was part of the gamble from last year's roster to this roster of how they were going to change it up, bringing in Karl Anthony Towns.
They are the ultimate example of your new superstar doesn't mesh with your old one.
So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a little bit of that, but I would actually blame it more on Tibbs, though, because I think you saw this last game where we talked a little bit about this yesterday, and part of the reason why I liked the Pacers tonight. So, I mean, Tibbs messing with the starting lineup, where that guy has loved his starting lineup all season long, and if you really felt as a head coach this was an issue, then you should have been working on different rotations and different lineups more than you were during the regular season. So when you got to this point, you had an options to go to lineup B, lineup C with these guys, one off the court, one on, to play, you know, Brunson with a Mitchell Robinson. If they had more experience, you know, more time together during the regular season, you know, that's one that you'd probably go to a little bit more often.
All right. We're both on the Pacers. What could go wrong? Game four, Knicks trying to send it back to Madison Square Garden, knotted up at 2 apiece in Indiana, trying to get that 3-1 lead. We'll come back, a little baseball break with Mark Borchardt, base winner, next, right here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Edge Boost, the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved, no usage fees, no minimums. Earn cashback rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code ANG.
ANG is an A Numbers Game.
Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Bob Sacamano, should we sprinkle some on the Padres for June's Major League Baseball most wins, just in case we get trolled again next month? Looking forward to your June MLB win leader picks, as am I. I'm very excited for this. Eric Biggio from William Hill Caesars. Few markets you guys might be interested in are out or will be out today. Oh, listen to this. We have breaking news from Eric Biggio at William Hill Caesars. He says NCAA baseball regional prices, the 13-run pool, new pool starts today. Do you know what that is, Kelly?
I do not know.
That is when a team in Major League Baseball records that run total in the game. So, in other words, they have to hit every run total up to 13. So they have to have one game that's 13, one game that's 10, one game that's 11. The first that fills them all out wins that.
So they're starting a new pool because that's been accomplished already?
I guess so.
I feel like that would take a couple
First team to record individual team final score totals of 0 to 13 runs in different games. Start date, May 27th. So that one's actually starting today.
Wow.
And then the big one, most wins in June. Should be up, Eric says, by this afternoon.
All right, let's go.
Breaking news. Thank you, Eric. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. C. Spackler says, roll those R's, Kelly. I don't know what he's referring to, but ladies and gentlemen, now we have the three court names, the three biggest courts at Roland Garros for Kelly, and it goes a little something like this.
Philippe Chatrier. I know that
one. It's Chatrier. Yeah, well, okay. That's all right.
All right. Well, but that wasn't perfect.
Yeah, it was
Chatrier.
That's good enough, yeah.
All right, so these are French, so I don't think this is Suzanne. I'm going to go with Susanna Lenglen.
Susanna Longlin.
Longlin. Mm-hmm. All right. Simone Mathieu.
Simone Mathieu.
Sure.
All right, nice try, though. Good try. We'll do that again next time. Chris Heath, exactly how I feel about the Ghost Runner and extras. The home team is penalized by the road team getting the first runner, talking about that suggestion about you can't foul up three. So he's saying that's how he feels. You know, and we were saying you brought up the tush push. He says exactly how I feel about the Ghost Runner and extras. Home team penalized by the road team getting the first runner. OPS plus is for commies. Miles Turner, he says, under 5.5 boards tonight. -120, averaging 4 in the series. And I think Tibbs plays Mitchell Robinson more tonight. Mike Rouse, please ask Mark Borchard, who's coming up, about the prison cell windows and his college degrees on the wall. Will do. And then Torch D, the one who put the satin on your panties. Says, last series, Pacers go up on the Cavs 2-0, then come back home and lose. We're in the same situation for this series. The halftime score of game 4 between the Pacers and Cavs was 80-39. Pacers, give me more of that tonight, he says.
Let's go.
We shall see. Mark Borchard now, the aforementioned, joins us from an undisclosed location in the desert. You can follow him on Twitter at BaseWinner. BaseWinner.com is his place, and of course, the BetUS show that he does on a daily basis, except for when he makes an exception and comes on our show. How you doing, Mark? What's happening?
I'm doing good. Wait, he says that it looks like a prison cell. Well, I'd like to think of it more as a lab, Gil. I actually have a really good view, but you have to close all the windows and stuff to get the decent lighting. And so I actually have a better view than this. And as far as the degrees on the wall, not my degrees. I do have my degree from lovely Sonoma State up there in the Bay Area. They're my wife. So she's got way higher education degrees than I do. A Michigan alum, Gil, and she's a hardcore Michigan football person.
As Michigan alum tend to be. Do you know anybody who went to the University of Michigan who doesn't love the University of Michigan? I don't know a single person. It's like 100% rate of how much they love that school.
Yeah, I don't think it would apply to most people in their schools. But
I don't know. There's some schools where my Georgetown buddies are like, yeah, whatever. They're not like rolling for Georgetown basketball.
Michigan hardos, yes, yes, they're very extreme.
Mark comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, of course. Mark, let's start with your picks before we get into anything else. What do you have today for us?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the parlay today, the Yankees and the Diamondbacks. And I think Rodon's been really, really good. And it's kind of a funny story. It's really hard for me to bet on Rodon. I mean, he went into Kansas City, I think it was in 2022. And I mean, all the stars were lining up, the rolling XFIP, the alpha, gamma, delta, all those numbers were looking good for him. He went into Kansas City and he didn't get an outing, allowed 10 runs. It has to be the worst bet I ever gave out on air. So I'm giving him out today. All the numbers look good. I have this game priced. It should be like -215. It's kind of rolled up a little bit from the overnight I sent out, but, I like the Yankees bullpen, number 2 in baseball and the number 4 offense. And then Arizona's the number 2 offense against Burns. And they're going to pitch Burns today. And he's really kind of had mixed results, but his last 3 starts have been tremendous. I've had the pleasure to watch him. I really like him personally. And I've been rooting for him. So there's a little bit of a heart bet in that, but the numbers look good over the last 3 games. So it's going to be Yankees, Diamondbacks, and you risk 1 to win about 1.15. So pretty much a little bit better than even money on that parlay, Gil.
Yankees, Diamondbacks. anything besides a parlay? Do we get one side out of you maybe? No, nothing.
You know, I think that speaking of good bullpens, the best bullpen that I have are the Minnesota Twins, and I kind of like them today going into Tampa and winning there. You know, Ryan's a decent – he's better than decent. He's my number 5 starter. And combine that with the number 1 bullpen, I think you can overlook the fact that, you know, these concussion protocols are odd. Correa has been back for almost a week, and Buxton's still out of the lineup. At least I have him out of the lineup today because of the concussion protocol. But even given that, I would say Minnesota as a short favorite, about -120 today, Gil.
Let me just ask you a question, because you and I haven't brought this up before. I want to ask about the Padres in a minute, but AL Rookie of the Year, Jacob Wilson of the Athletics, who's on the leaflet, -265, prohibitive favorite. We're not yet in June. And you got Jack Caglione, who's, you know, just killing in the minors, who is, I guess, you know, going to be called up at some point here by the Royals. You can still get him at 28-1. We have enough of a season where would you recommend betting a flyer on someone like that?
I think it's tough for me to responsibly give out Rookie of the Year. It's really a market that I don't pay that much attention to. I do give out a couple of plays early on prior to the season, but I don't really pay that much attention to. Other than Wilson, what is he batting over 400 still? I mean, he's really – I think it's hard to bet against that guy, Gil.
He is scrappy as could be. Great player for the Oakland A's. 350 is hitting right now.
I guess he's gone down because he was at 400.
Yeah, for the Athletics, so, yeah, not the Oakland A's, by the way.
But your point's well taken in that, you know, there's a lot of season left. So, you know, some of these markets, and I think Jason came on your show before the season started and said, you know, some of these markets are better just to wait on. And we have to, you know, because of what we do, we have to give out, you know, plays and futures and that sort of thing before the season starts. But I would agree with him, actually.
Yeah, well, he came to that on the hard way too. Right? He had to learn the hard way on that as well. But I don't know, 28-1, pretty tempting for a guy who's going to, you know, is it much more, you know, in terms of hitting the long ball more than Jacob Wilson, a team that will be in contention as opposed to the Athletics, right? Perhaps they will be the Royals. We'll see. So I don't know. I think there's a path where you bet that. I want to ask you about the Padres because I bet them most wins in May. They have been, I don't want to call them a disaster in May, but kind of a disaster in May. They got all their offensive players back. Still need some pitching help with you, but they got all their key offensive players back. They go on this epic 0-for-38 hitless streak with runners in scoring position. And as a, you know, someone who has a bet on them, you just have to laugh because the record is 45 in a row hitless. So they really flirted with that. Like every time they got somebody in scoring position, you would watch after a while. You just be like, there's no chance they're getting a hit here. There's no chance of knocking him in. The other thing that just went into the, you know, just dove into oblivion. I almost went a different direction there, Kelly, was their bullpen, which was great up until the early days of May. And then just all of a sudden was terrible. I don't want to say you were on to this kind of nosedive on either of them, but you were never quite as bullish on them as I was, huh? And this kind of manifested a little bit for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's interesting watching that team. And what I noticed when watching him yesterday is the energy that they have at home versus on the road, where they look kind of like they were sleepwalking. I'm not as high on their bullpen as a lot of people were. During, I guess they had a stretch, Gil, where they won eight straight.
Yeah.
I don't know. What were they, 14-3 to start the season off? I think they're a good team. I think I have them close to like 88 wins on the season, but it's a tough division. And my numbers say Dodgers, Diamondbacks, or Giants, and Giants are better teams.
Okay. There he goes. Mark, appreciate it as always. When is the BetUS show? How do people access it easily?
It's on YouTube, BetUS MLB show, every day at 8 a.m.
Yep. Every day at 8 a.m. And it's you solo or who are your co-hosts?
The host is Kyle. He does a show 180 days. I don't think he's missed one show. And then there's Corby Craig, who's really good, and Kenny McAndrus. And we all handicap differently. But one thing you can do is you can catch Gil's show live, and then you can go to YouTube and watch our show.
There you go. Thank you, Mark. Hockey next with Jake Hahn on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Take your betting to the next level with First Bet. Whether it's Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, or Saratoga Racecourse, First Bet puts the action at your fingertips. Sign up now at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. And use promo code VSiN200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today at firstbet.com. You and I had the similar experience. We don't do well betting horses. And then we went ahead and we bet journalism to win the Preakness.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we finally get a winner, but then we also bet other stuff and we lost.
Oh, no, you might have. I only bet the other stuff.
Oh, you only
bet
the other stuff.
Yeah, I only bet the trifectas and all that stuff, yeah.
Oh, sorry about that. Didn't mean to bring it. Oh, I do have a grievance about for you.
Oh,
good. Grievance.
I have
a Gil versus Kelly grievance after you had a grievance against me yesterday.
All right, cool.
You know how in the contest you're like, yeah, well, it doesn't surprise me. You and Fezzik are good contest players. I'd say Fezzik is a great contest player. I would say mine is just as much handicapping as it was contest on this one.
Well, well done then.
Yeah,
you've had a good playoff run.
Yeah,
would you have an 8-1 tear or something?
8-1-1, buddy.
Yeah, man, that's a sick tear.
Don't worry, I'm still like literally Fezzik's magic number to knock me out is 1.
Yeah,
I'm done. Yeah. I'm done too. I'm not winning this.
He's pretty much dominated this thing throughout.
Zach can still beat him.
Yeah.
And here's the thing we don't know about the contest. Remember, there's a tiebreaker. And that is concealed. We don't know. I do, by the way. But we don't. I'm not allowed to say it out loud because Fezzik's like, no, but there might be a competitive advantage if you say it out loud, right? But you, before the contest began, we had to submit via email the team we thought would win the NBA championship.
Was the matchup in the winner?
Just the winner. Which you would think would be just, oh, clearly everyone's going to take the same team. Not the case.
Well, not that I have to worry about it anyways, but mine's already eliminated.
Oh, who'd you have?
I think I sent in the Celtics for that.
Oh, you did? Okay. All right. Let's talk some hockey. For goodness sake, while all this basketball has been going on, the NHL in full effect mode, as the great Al B. Shore once said. Jake Hahn joins now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow Jake on Twitter at jhahn4, that's H-A-H-N. Of course, co-host of The Point and the Fantasy Hockey Show at SiriusXM NHL. How you doing, Jake?
I'm doing great, guys, and I guess even a little bit better because we've got an extra hockey game this week. I thought we would get the sweep last night. Ultimately, Carolina steps up. They finally win a conference final game. It'd been a long time for Hurricanes fans, so I know it's likely they're going to lose the series here at some point, but at least you get one, you avoid the sweep, and we get another hockey game to break down on Wednesday, and obviously we have a really big one tonight as well between the Dallas Stars and the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, game 5 back in Carolina tomorrow night is a virtual coin flip, by the way, on the line. What about that last night, Jake? I just want to ask you, as a guy who follows hockey closer than Kelly and I do, so Carolina just gets rolled in the first 3 games. They look terrible. That after, you know, crushing the Caps, that's a whole nother story. And then last night they come out, they win 3-0, and all of a sudden it's like, all right, well, you know, if we win this next one, all of a sudden the pressure is all, you know, with the Panthers. What about that? Is it just hockey as hockey is, or was there something to it last night?
Well, I think there was a little something to it. Not that the series has shifted by any means and, you know, Carolina is going to rhyme off a couple more and rip this to 7. I don't think that that's going to happen. But I think if you just looked at last night's game, Gil, we use the cliche probably too much when it comes to breaking down hockey. Okay, if you score first, everyone wants to score first. Of course you want to score first. We also want to score second. You want to score third. You want to score fourth. You want to score all the goals, right? But
score fourth. That's kind of my thing.
Yes. Yeah. Fourth would be good as well. Any time you could score, it's a good time. But I think specifically in this series, and I don't think Carolina is built to trail in hockey games and come back in games, especially against Florida. It's one thing against maybe a different team, but Florida and how well they defend and Carolina's offense can tend to go away a little bit. I just think trailing in hockey games is not meant for them in this series. And they finally got a chance to score first. Now, it was a late first goal. It didn't come until the second period, but you could just tell it went right to their legs, playing with the lead. Florida was still doing a lot of good things to get in the zone, but it felt like they were closed off a lot more by Carolina. The pucks just weren't bouncing for them around the net. There was a couple moments where I thought, oh, Florida's going to tie it here. They have a, you know, a little mini 2-on-1 or a great chance right in front of the net, and it would bounce over a stick or it just wouldn't go their way. So things didn't go Florida's way last night. I wouldn't read too much into it to say that this series has dramatically shifted. I think it's as simple as Carolina being able to finally get to their game for the first time in this entire series.
Yeah, that sounds like a reasonable explanation. I think most would agree with that. You'd be on Florida then tomorrow night?
I will be on Florida tomorrow night. I've been on Florida in some fashion in every game so far. Obviously, last night it didn't work out, but I still liked a lot of the things I saw from the Panthers. And hey, you got to give Carolina credit. They were desperate. They don't want to get swept again and have to hear about how they never win a conference final game and the Metro stinks and the Atlantic is way better. So you could tell there was the desperation, which you would have expected. I actually thought Florida matched that. They just couldn't find a way to score a goal. Now, we aren't getting as good of a line on the Panthers tomorrow night as we did in the first two games in Carolina. We actually got them at plus money in games one and two, which I loved. I was hoping to maybe get that price again, but about minus 110, you know, I'm seeing it up to minus 115 in some places. I'd be comfortable playing it at anything around a pick 'em. I like the Panthers to close it out tomorrow night.
Okay. As far as tonight is concerned, Dallas at Edmonton. Edmonton up 2-1. Game four tonight. Edmonton trying to extend the lead to 3-1. They are a minus 151 favorite in this game. I want to relate this to my buddy, who many listeners are familiar with, Todd Wishnev. Todd does this thing where whenever he voices a bet, right, where he's like, oh, man, I think this is a great bet, and then he doesn't follow through and actually bet it, I think he is a documented lifetime 5 bajillion and 0. I think it always works out if he doesn't then follow through the bet. This applies to other things in life, right? He's like, you know, you should really invest in these Bitcoin ETFs. Are you investing? He goes, I don't know if I am. Soars, right?
Yeah.
So I, earlier in the NHL playoffs, I said, you know, this Edmonton team, I don't know much about hockey, but they look like they might win the Stanley Cup. And of course, Jake, I did not bet it. And so here they are. And now I'm having all this regret. And so now I'm like, I'm figuring out this is the worst. It what amounts to is a chase bet here, where I'm like, okay, they're too short to bet right now. But I look at the Conn Smythe market, and Leon Draisaitl is still in double digits. Like, is this an impossibility that he would win it if they win the cup?
Well, Kelly knows this as well, betting golf. And a lot of people will ask me for my golf takes, you know, leading up to a tournament. And I'll say, well, I kind of like this person, you know, kind of like this person. And then, you know, you can't bet everybody. You end up not betting a couple guys that maybe you really liked. And then you pull up the leaderboard on Thursday, and the guy that you liked that you didn't bet is, you know, minus 6, and he's leading the golf tournament. And you're like, well, now I need a piece of him. I'm desperate, and you don't want to bet him at horrible odds. So I know exactly what you're saying, Gil, about that, you know, non-Edmonton bet that you made, and still trying to find a way to bet it without taking, you know, the Edmonton Cup price. I think Draisaitl at 12-1 is reasonable, because this award does come with a lot of recency bias. Now you'd still need a lot of things to go your way. You would need Draisaitl and Edmonton to obviously make the Cup final, win the Cup, and he would have to have the big series, which he's very capable of doing. McDavid's the man right now, and he is driving this team. He's just unbelievable to watch. But by no means could Draisaitl could go out there and have 6 goals in the Cup final, and everybody's going to remember that and vote for Draisaitl. So I think at 12-1, if you still want to get a piece of that and you feel like you missed out, I don't mind that number on Leon at 12-1. Yeah.
The flip side of this, of course, Jake, going into the psychology of a bettor, is the moment I bet Draisaitl, the Stars will come back and win this series, right? That's obviously part of this superstition as well. And what about this game tonight? Edmonton against Dallas. Dallas still, according to some, the team to beat, no matter that they're down 2-1.
I think this is different than the Eastern Conference series. All due respect to Carolina, and they did get a well-deserved win last night, but Dallas has a way better chance of getting back in this series against Edmonton. Now, I picked Edmonton in the series. I still like Edmonton to get it done. I just don't think it's maybe going to be as neat and tidy as it's looked the last couple of games. The Oilers get that 3-0 shutout. And then the 6-1 game on Sunday afternoon, you know, you look at that score and go, wow, the Oilers blew them out of the water. And they did in the third period. But, you know, that was a 2-1 hockey game late into the second period. McDavid scores a goal in the final minute, and that was just kind of a backbreaker for Dallas. So it was a lot closer, I think, than the score indicated. You know, don't really think there's a ton of value on the money line in tonight's game, even though I would lean Edmonton to get it done on home ice, guys. I think the under 6.5 is where I would look here. I know it's frightening to take an under between these two teams, but we're starting to see these games tighten up. We had a dead set under on Friday night. It probably should have been an under in the last game, and it ends up still barely going over by a goal with that 6-1 final. So under 6.5, you'll have to pay a little juice for it, but I think we tighten this thing up as it gets deeper and deeper into the series.
All right. And would you, in a hypothetical Stanley Cup final, would you make Florida the series favorite over either Dallas or Edmonton, or would you make Dallas the series favorite over Florida, but Florida the series favorite over Edmonton?
At this point, I would have to make Florida the favorite over anybody. I don't know if the odds makers are going to agree with me on that. And if I do catch Florida as an underdog, it's going to be hard to resist them. But I go back to your original thought, Gil. It just, to me, it feels like the Oilers' year. It feels like McDavid will not be denied 2 years in a row. So I'm still rolling with the Edmonton Oilers. But yeah, if I'm pricing it, I almost have to make Florida the favorite against anybody at this point.
Does it mean a lot to you personally to have a cup win in Canada?
Not me personally. The rest of Canada doesn't really do that as much as people think, but yeah. I would be happy for the fans in Edmonton and mostly the individual of Connor McDavid.
There you go. Thank you, Jake. Appreciate it. Drew Didson.
Thanks, boys.
Tennis in the NBA next.